I think a summary of that song is, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. If you look at the words to that hymn in the hymn book, it's blasphemous. 394, if you want to read it. It's blasphemous. But that was such a blessing. Now, I was very happy that Aaron read Psalm 77. Why was I happy he read that? Because I'm going to be preaching on made nigh. Made nigh. In Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And when you read that psalm, you're reading from a man who is a believer who certainly did not feel near. He felt far away. And I think of the different thoughts people have. There are some people who feel near that in fact are far away. And there are some people who are very near who feel far away. Now, what I want to deal with is, just forget about your feelings for a moment. I know that's impossible. I realize that. But let's see what the Bible says about being made nigh. Not how do you feel, close or far off. Sometimes you may feel close, sometimes you may feel far off. But let's see what the Bible has to say about this thing of being made nigh. Let's read verse 13 again. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes, and that's merely aforetime, before you were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Question, who is made nigh? All in Christ. All that he shed his blood for. Now that's not everybody. Not everybody's in Christ. Jesus Christ the Lord did not die for everybody. Now, why am I saying this? Well, number one, because it's true. And number two, that I don't really have any understanding of the death of Christ and what he actually accomplished by his death if I believe that he died for some people and they wind up in hell. There's no understanding of the death of Christ. There's no understanding of the gospel. You take away the particular successful redemption of Christ for the elect, and all you're left with is salvation by works. And no one is saved under that message. Someone that believes that message, that Jesus Christ died for everybody to make salvation available for all, as long as you accept what he did, that's not the gospel. That's another gospel. That's salvation by works. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh. How near? Near. So near to God. Nearer. I cannot be. For in the person of his dear son, I'm as near to God as he. Now what this is the nearness of union. both Hebrews 2:11, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Not close. Not two joined together so that they're touching. But one. I think the way that this can be understood, it can't completely be understood, I realize that, but it can be believed. Adam. Everybody in this room has Adam's genes in them. We have him as our common father. Me and you have the same father, Adam. We came out of him. And what Adam did, you and I did. When he ate of the fruit, Todd Nybert ate of the fruit. And everybody in this room ate of the fruit. Now understand this. This is very important. What Adam did was charged to you. That's true. But the reason it was charged to you was because you did it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. He doesn't say that Adam's sin was imputed to us. It says when Adam sinned, we sinned. What he did, we did. Now, the same is true of all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did, we did. When he obeyed God's holy law, Todd Nybert obeyed God's holy law. What he did, all in him did. All of the elect are eternally in Christ. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is. Well, how is he? Well, I could say a whole lot about that. He's perfectly obedient. He kept God's law perfectly. He's without sin. Oh, how beautiful he is to the Father. How the Father is pleased with gazing upon his Son. As he is, so are we in this world right now, present tense. That is how close he made everybody he died for, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who came in time and shed his precious blood on the cross. And the moment he died, you remember what happened? The veil of separation in the temple was ripped in half from the top to the bottom. This is God's work. He took away the separation and brought every one of us in this place of nearness for whom Christ died. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh. How far were we? Well, look what verse 11 says. Wherefore, remember. Remember what you were before God saved you. Now, I realize that somebody says, well, I don't know when it was that I was saved. I realize that. I realize that. I say most people don't know exactly when they were saved. I've heard a preacher once say, if you don't know the exact moment you were saved, you're not saved. I mean, can you break a leg and not know it? And I remember when I heard him, I thought, well, I don't remember when I was born. I really don't. I have no recollection of it all. That doesn't mean I wasn't born, does it? This is not important to know exactly when you were saved, but I want you to remember what you were before God saved you. Now, whether you enter into this a whole lot or whether you don't, it's still true concerning you, concerning me. He says, wherefore remember, verse 11, that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, you weren't Jews, you were pagans, you were idolaters, you were Gentiles in the flesh. You weren't true Jews, and you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by the hands. This is what the Jews called you, nothing but uncircumcised people. That was the ultimate statement of contempt. Remember when David said to Goliath, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You were called by the Jews nothing but pagan, Gentile idolaters, uncircumcised. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. What could be worse than that? You didn't know who he was. You didn't know anything about him. You were a stranger to who he is. You were without Christ, being aliens. And that word is actually a verb, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You weren't a true Israelite. You were an alien because of your sin. And strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no idea of the covenant of grace that God made with Christ. You didn't know what it is to rest in the covenant. You are a stranger to what David said when he said, although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, and this is all my salvation, and it's all my desire. You didn't know anything about that. You had no hope. No hope. And you were without God in this world. No hope of saving yourself. No hope of making yourself savable. You were, as Genesis 6, 5 describes, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was you. That was me. Remember that. Every thought that passed through your heart when God saw it, it was only evil continually. But isn't that the grace of God? But God. But now, present tense, right now, though you were just as I described in your experience, pagan, without Christ, alienated, a stranger with no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you are made nigh by His blood. Doesn't have anything to do with how close you feel or how far off you feel. You may feel far off. You may feel close. But if you're near, it's because you're in Christ Jesus. And He made you nigh by His own precious blood. And now, you're a true Jew. Every believer is a Jew. You're looking at a true Jew. You know, there's not Jew and Gentile in Christ Jesus. I'm a Jew. I'm truly one of a circumcised heart. I've had that circumcision made without hands. He's a Jew, which is not one outwardly, but one inwardly, whose circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. For we are the circumcision, Paul said in Philippians 3:3, who worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. But now, verse 12, instead of being without Christ, you have Christ. You have Christ. in all the fullness of who He is. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Now, this thing of having Christ, if you have Christ, He's all you have. You don't have anything else to plead before the Father. But that's not a bad thing. That's the best thing. If Christ is all you have, He's really all you want, isn't He? You don't want anything else. He's all you need. You have Christ. And you're no longer strangers, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You're a true Jew. You're no longer a stranger of the covenant of promise. You understand what David meant. And you enter into what David said when he said, although my house is not so with God. And yes, he was talking about his relatives. He was always talking about this house. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath He made with me an everlasting covenant. A covenant was made before time began. And David understood that that was the covenant God made with Christ before the world began. But he also knew that God made that covenant with him in the Beloved. Yet hath He made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation. And this is all my desire, though He make it not to grow. Now you have hope. And let me tell you about the hope I have, just real briefly, but this is so glorious. The hope I have, remember, hope is with regard, a confident expectation with regard to the future. I have a hope that when I stand before God and God looks at me, He's not going to see any difference between me and Jesus Christ. Now that's a hope, isn't it? He's going to look at me and say, here is one who is perfectly righteous. No sin. Now that's a hope. That's a hope. And that hope is because Jesus Christ bore my sin by His precious blood, put them away so they're non-existent. And I stand before God right now and on judgment day without sin. Now, most preachers would say, salvation is by grace, but you're going to be judged according to how obedient you were here on earth. And you're going to be rewarded accordingly. If you were a pretty good Christian, you're going to get a higher reward. And then if you were a disobedient Christian, you're going to probably dwell in the slums of heaven. You know, there's different grades of salvation. That's so not true. That's a complete denial of the gospel. If I'm in Christ, I stand justified, without sin, without guilt. And here's the hope I have. Not only that on judgment day I'll stand perfect in God's sight through the justifying work of Christ, so that there's no sin in me. Everything that's happened from the day of my birth to the day of my death is under this umbrella, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now that's hope, isn't it? We have a hope. And we have God in this world. That means He's for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now here's the source of this nearness, verse 13. But now, right now, present tense, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes or before time were far off. I've already described the far offness, if you can use that as a word. You were far off, but you've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now let's consider this thing of being in Christ. If you're in Christ, you must be saved. You were saved before time began. and you will be saved when time is no longer, if you're in Christ. You see, all of God's blessings are in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not given to you because of anything you do. They're given to you because you're in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in Christ. For in Christ Jesus, you that were before times afar off are made nigh. Now let's camp there for a moment. You're made nigh. You're made so very near. The Word is created. You're created near. You're become near. Your nearness is done. It's accomplished. You can't be anything but what you are, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says Christ is made unto us wisdom. I am painfully conscious of what a fool I am. But God sees me as a very wise man, someone he can have fellowship with, someone he can embrace, because Christ is made unto me wisdom. Christ is made unto me righteousness. God looks at me and says, oh, he's so perfectly righteous, because Christ is made unto me righteousness. Christ is made unto me sanctification. He is my holiness, so that I can't be any more holy than I am right now. He's made unto me redemption, full deliverance. Now these people who were made near by the blood of Christ were made to see how far off they were because of their sin. They have experienced what Paul said in Romans 3:19, and we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. What's that mean? That means you have no way of vindicating or justifying yourself, guilty as charged, if God sends me to hell and does not give me mercy. Holy, right, and just is his name. He's just. Now, as long as you can have objections to the gospel, how could it be fair for Christ to die for one and not die for another? How can it be fair for God to elect one and pass by another? How can it be fair for God to give life to one and not give life to another? How can it be fair? What you're doing is coming into God's presence on the ground of, it's not fair. It's not fair for God to treat me that way. Your mouth hadn't been stopped. Because when your mouth is stopped, all objections cease. Whatever God does with me is right. Now, if you've been made nigh by the blood of Christ, you've learned that you were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not by something you've done. Not by something you have helped out with. You've seen the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And I love this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. That's the word, the same word, made. All things have been made new. All things have become new. And you know what that means? Somebody says, well, I'm so different than I was before God saved me. I don't have the same sinful appetites. I don't have the same sinful desires. I'm getting holier and less sinful. No, no. Nobody believes that. You might make that claim before men. You might intimidate them, but God knows better. God knows better. This is not talking about how much better you are. This thing of being made new means you've been given a new history. And it's all good. You've been given a new nature that you didn't have before. You have a new standing before God's law. Perfect. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 3:14, we are made partakers of Christ himself. Titus 3:7, being justified by his grace, we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Philippians 3:21, he shall change our vile body, our sinful and dying body, that he may fashion it. That's the word. That he may fashion it, make it like unto his glorious body, even according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We see how this word made is used in the scriptures. And as glorious as these things are, there's nothing more glorious than this nearness to God. Made nigh by the blood of his Son. Now, how near is the Son to the Father? How near is the Father to the Son? Well, I know this is incomprehensible, but these two distinct persons are one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is one God. They're the same. That's how near the Father is to the Son. That's how near the Son is to the Father. Now, however near he is to the Father, that's how near I am to the Father. The Lord said in John 17, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made one in us. Now, as long as we still commit sin, as long as we still have unbelief, it is impossible to feel and enter in to the nearness which we possess. That's so, isn't it? When you read Psalm 77, we're reading along, you knew what David, or whoever wrote Psalm 77, meant. When they were saying, are your mercies clean gone? Have you forgot to be gracious? Have I been left to myself? He certainly felt no nearness at all. But that doesn't take away from the reality of that nearness. And the reason for that nearness, whether we feel it or not, if we have it, is twofold. In Christ and the blood of Christ. Those two things. Same thing, they can't be separated. But here is the nearness every believer possesses. In Christ and the blood of Christ. The elect are eternally united to Jesus Christ. Now, note the word eternally. That means before they had any existence physically. Before there was a creation, the elect are eternally united to Christ. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew that when you were created, I'd know thee. know, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I have always been known by the Father, by the Son, by the Spirit. Before I had any existence, I was a person to the Lord. And He knew me. This is illustrated by the first Adam and the second Adam. I've already touched on this. But you were in the loins of Adam. You have Adam's genes. In Adam, all die when he ate of the fruit. You ate of the fruit. When he died, you died. That's what the Bible teaches. In Christ shall all be made alive. Not all of humanity is in Christ, but all of the elect are, were, and always will be. So that, just as what Adam did, I did. What Christ did, I did. So that I'm going to hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Now, as far as my experience goes, what I think, nothing I've done has been well done. Nothing. Everything I do is marred by sin. This sermon is marred by sin. During the preparation of this sermon, it was marred by sin. The prayers I pray are marred by sin. The motives I have are marred by sin. My sin is ever before me. There's nothing of which my hand is touched, of which I could say, well done. Well done. Well, that was faithful. But being united to Christ, everything He did is well done. Everything He did is faithful. Everything I've done in Him is well done. And everything is faithful. And when God says to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it won't be because, well, I'm just counting what Christ did to Him. So real is this union that everything I've done is well done. And everything I've done is faithful. It's called justification. You see, the blood of Christ makes it to where I do not have any sin. There's nothing about me that could prevent this nearness. Scripture says your sins have separated you. But if you don't have any sin, there's no separation, is there? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? There's nothing that can prevent this nearness because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This demonstrates the power of His blood made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now here's what I want to end with. This thing of being made nigh. Forget your feelings for just a moment, if that's possible, which it's not, I realize that. But this nearness we have, it's because of this. In Christ, made nigh by His blood. That's it. Now how can I know if I have been made nigh? I want to know. How can I know if I'm in Christ? I can't put myself in Christ. There's nothing I can do to make myself be in Christ. I love that passage of Scripture. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. You can't put yourself in Christ. You can't make yourself be in Christ.
God's got to place you there. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus.
How can I know if I've been made nigh by His blood? Question. Can you agree with Paul when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you glory only in the cross? Not in anything you've done, but only in the cross. Do you agree with Paul? Do you enter in with Paul? Remember, he's the man that God used to expound the gospel. Do you find agreement with Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do those words resonate with you? Where really all you want to hear is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that does not mean that the only subject you want to hear dealt with is the cross, although it does mean that too. It does mean, if you're hearing something that's divorced from Christ crucified, it's no good. It's no good. Now, do I have this nearness? Now, I'm not asking you how near you feel, but do you have this nearness? Here's the way you can answer that question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? You believe that? Let me remind you, I'm not asking you if you believe you're saved or if you believe Christ died for you. I'm not asking if you believe you're one of the elect. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That He is God's Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's King? Do you have faith in His blood? Now that's a scriptural question. Being justified freely through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus through Romans 3:24, through faith in His blood. Do you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is all that's needed to make you clean, holy before God? If you do, near, so near to God, nearer you cannot be. For in the person of His dear Son, you're as near to God as He. Dear, so dear to God, dearer you cannot be. For in the person of His dear Son, you are as dear to God as He. Made nigh. Now, I've purposely not asked you to turn to all these scriptures, because here's one scripture I want you to turn to. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to read this with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 14, for by one offering, talking about His death on Calvary's tree, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he'd said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When God looks at me in glory, he's not going to think, I remember what he did. I remember what he was. No, there's no sin to remember. Now, verse 18, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Don't you try to bring an offering to God. There is no other offering but his precious blood. Having, therefore, that means you got it. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated us for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. You're already near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That means you don't have anything to feel guilty about. That's what that means. You don't have anything to feel guilty about. That's why you can draw near. There's nothing to prevent it. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now in Christ, by his blood, every believer has immediate and constant access of nearness. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's pray together. Lord, how we give thanks that in Christ and by his precious blood, we're made nigh, and that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we ask that you would enable us to preach your gospel in this generation. We ask that you would enable us to boldly proclaim that nearness to yourself is found only in being in Christ and being made nigh by his precious blood. Lord, give us the wisdom to preach your gospel to those who don't know you. Give us the grace to have compassion in doing so. And Lord, how we thank you for the forgiveness of sins and for the nearness that we actually possess in thy Son and in his precious blood. Bless this message for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.